All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Sunday morning. So happy to be with everybody today after Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Me and Dennis, we have one alone, and we're very thankful for it. It's really our first Thanksgiving together as a married couple. Being alone and having the house finished is pretty awesome. Dennis has done a lot of work on this farm, and the Lord has truly blessed his labors. And so we had a really wonderful Thanksgiving with our animals and with you guys. We got to share with you guys on band. So that was really awesome. And I am going on the missions trip this week. I'm very excited about it. Leaving Wednesday morning and coming back Friday. So it'll be a very fast one. The lady that I'm going with is named Beth, and she lives in Knoxville. See, we live on the west side of Nashville, between Nashville and Memphis. So she lives on the way to North Carolina. She lives between Knoxville and Gatlinburg. And so the town that we're going to after we leave her house is 3 hours away from her house. She's like 5 or 6 hours from me. So what we're going to do is I'm going to travel up there and stay the night in a hotel. And then she's going to meet me the next morning. And we're going to drive up there and deliver all of our stuff, pray for people, minister to people, and then come back. And we're going to stay in her cabin that night. And then I'll come back home the next morning. So it'll be a very fast trip. But the reason I'm doing it is because I've been noticing the horrible things that are happening there. And I feel terrible for those people, you know. And I thought, Lord, if I could just give them, I could probably fill it up with just stuff from my house. So what I'm going to do is go around to the neighborhood here and ask them if they want to donate things, you know, like blankets and stuff, and gather up a truckload of stuff. And then she's going to bring a carload of stuff, and we will take it and minister to the people. So I'm very, very excited about it, to be boots on the ground in ministry, because I am an evangelist at heart. You cannot go to Rob Parsley's Bible College without being an evangelist at heart. He is definitely something else. But anyway, so that's going on this week. So the prayer call will only be on Monday and Tuesday this week. Wednesday morning, I'll be headed out. And I plan on being live a lot. So we will be live a lot on the trip. So I'm excited about it, to bring you guys with me, you know, and to have you ride around with me as I, you know, kind of travel through there a little bit and see what's going on there in North Carolina. Of course, now there is a lot of places that are not available, you know, for us to be able to go to, but at least we'll be able to give. And that's the whole point of the trip, you know, to be able to bless people with stuff. I'm going to bring all kinds of stuff, household stuff, because people, I would imagine, you know, they need everything. So that's what I'm going to be doing, and I'm excited about it. And Dennis, he's going to stay here on the farm with the animals and keep everything going here. So that's good. And I have a little scripture I want to read you guys this morning. This is in Psalms chapter 32. And we're going to start off with verse 5. And it says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now, I interviewed this guy this week in our prayer call. His name is Jesse James. And he talked about how, you know, he was addicted to drugs and he was dying when he went to the hospital after he overdosed on crack, basically. and he went into a coma. And while he was in a coma, he was visiting hell. And how God showed him what hell is really like. I mean, it is an eye-opening deal, you know. And I really encourage you guys to listen to that because it really sobers you up about all the people down there that he, one of the things that really shocked him was all the people down there saying, I'm not supposed to be here. You know, these are, I'm sure these are people that, you know, really believed that they were doing what was right according to the way they were taught. But they were taught wrong or whatever, you know. And, or they believed the wrong doctrine. So this is why that's really dangerous. You know, the once saved, always saved and all that. Because, you know, it causes people to not understand the holiness of God type of deal. And so, and then the way that, you know, it was down there. So I encourage you guys to listen to that interview. It's a 2-hour interview. It's up on the website, goem.us. And then tomorrow night, we have a very special broadcast with him. This one will be on video. Okay, so he is going to tell more of his story tomorrow night. So I really encourage you to listen to that first part. And so that way you have the understanding part of hell, because there's a whole lot more. A whole lot more needs to be told. So I'm very excited about it. And but when I think about these scriptures, I think about that, you know, because we have to be able to acknowledge our sin before God. You know, one thing I want to say to you, church, is when I did that show on Friday, and I was trying to warn you guys about what I see happening out there with the fiber for the cyber is started. And what that is where they're shaming Christians. They are going to expose the ugliness of Christianity, to rise up the Noahide laws, which I also showed you on that video, how Trump blatantly has these at his rally, declaring and having the Christians come in agreement through prayer for the Noahide laws. And so they're shaming the Christianity part of our nation, bringing it down to rise up this Judeo-Christian worldview, which is the Noahide laws. So it is here. And so I really want to encourage you guys, you know, not to engage in the shaming of other Christians whenever they, you know, because it's all, I mean, they're tearing these people to shreds on YouTube. And don't do that. You know, don't share their stuff on anywhere. You know, God spoke about this years ago, back in 2021, when he told me this was coming. He said, do not do that to those ministers, because I love them and I want them to repent. That's what all this is happening for, is because every person needs to be humbled. And they, whether the accusations are right or wrong is null and void. What is the point of it is the judgment. And so God wants them to acknowledge their sin, just like this scripture says, so that he can heal them before they leave this side of glory, you know. So I just encourage you, you know, when they're sharing all this stuff and they're mocking all these Christians that are falling, you know, let's stay above reproach and not engage in that, and pray for these people, because I showed just a couple of ministers that are doing that, you know, really blowing up on these people. And I thought, you just wait till it's your turn. Because that's what's happening. It's trickling down. You know, it started off Trump and then his people. And then now it's the NAR leaders, which they probably already know it's coming, you know, so they know that the big blunt is what's going to happen in 2025. And that's where it hits our level, you know, the pastors and the communities. And this is where it's going to get ugly, you know, because they're going to paint people in such a terrible way. And the public's going to believe it. I mean, whatever these people, the image of the beast that's going to be put out there is what people are going to believe. So I just really want to encourage you, you know, just pray for these people and realize, what if it's you? How would you want people to treat you? You know, type of deal. And let's pray that they will come back to the Lord. And if there's any truth to the accusations that the enemy is bringing against them, okay? Because y'all have to look at the big picture. Dennis tells people all the time in this community, because he's out around them more than I am. He'll tell them, you know, y'all just have to look at the big picture, you know. And the big picture is what they're doing to Christendom, what they're doing to Christians right now, you know, putting them up on pedestals of shame, you know. And one other thing I want to point out is I want you guys to notice how two of the situations that I brought to the light are sons that was in ministry with their parents, turned on the parents. So I thought, oh boy, can you imagine, you know, all these children out there, you know, they can turn on, because, you know, the Bible says that they would do that in the last days. So it's going to get ugly, is what I'm trying to tell you. So let's continue in the scripture here. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when you may be found. Praise God, we're not covered up in flooding right now. Praise God, we can pray. Praise God, we're able to be online together, you know. Because surely in the floods of great waters shall they not come nigh unto you. Which means when the pressure gets on, they're not going to cry out to God. He is our hiding place. He will preserve us from trouble. He will compass us about with songs of deliverance. Isn't that beautiful? He will instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. And Lord, please open our ears that we may hear what the Spirit is saying unto us in this hour. I will guide you with my eye. Remember what he told us in that 3-day fast. He said, will y'all trust me, bride? Will you put your feet on my feet and let me guide the dance? I know how to dodge the bullets. I thought that was pretty cool. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which has no understanding, which mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near to thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Now that's going to be the hard thing in these coming days, is seeing all these wicked people paying the price for what they've done. You know, that's going to be hard for our eyes to see. But he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord. That be word means it's an action verb. It means do this, you know, like the word put. It's the same way the word put is. It's like do this, you know, action. Be glad in the Lord. Choose to be glad. And rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. You know, the other night, the Lord woke me up at 2:00 in the morning. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Woke me up at 2:00 in the morning and said, get up and fight. And I told Dennis, I said, Dennis, I'm going to have to get up and scream for a while. So, yeah. Don't think I'm crazy, but I got to go to war. So I went into the living room And I went at it. I mean, I was telling that devil every which way but loose, you take your hands off my kids, you hear me? You know, my kids have destinies, and that's what I'm in agreement with. And I rebuke every foul, perverted devil that would try to tell them otherwise. I am not in agreement with you. And all of your plans against my children are null and void. I pull them down. I cancel them. I cast you out. I tell you right now that all your plots and plans are coming down. You know, and I'm in there just screaming. I'm telling that devil, I ain't putting up with you. You know, and you know. And I was thinking about that verse, you know, it says, the violent take it by force, you know. So we're telling that devil, you know, we're not in agreement. And I am telling you, Bride, I'm seeing this more and more, which I showed you on this show Friday. Do not come in agreement. You got to understand, when they ask you to come in agreement and pray with them about something, you need to know, what am I agreeing to? Because that's what they're asking all these people to come in agreement with, this image of the beast. All these NAR people. Come in agreement that the system would do this and the system would do that. And, you know, come in agreement with the image of the beast? I don't think so. And that's what they're asking the church to do. You know, so I just really encourage you, you know, be very, very careful about where you go and what you're agreeing to in prayer, and, you know, who you're agreeing with in prayer. You know, just be very careful about it. All right, so that's my encouraging word this morning. And I would like for us to take a minute to pray for Miss Stephanie. Now, Stephanie is on the line with us, and she is in the UK, and she is suffering tremendously. And I would like for us to pray for her, to, you know, for God to really move and help her. Let's all come together in agreement. Lord, we just pray for Stephanie right now, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over her. Lord, we know that you see what she's going through, and you know how she's suffering, Lord. And you know all of the labels that they have put on her, Lord. And we know as well, Lord, what you designed for her when time began. And Lord, we're in agreement with heaven that she is healed and filled and fulfilling her destiny, Lord, the way that you designed her to be. We rebuke every foul devil that would try to stop her and would try to any spell, incantation, or curse. We pull those down in the name of Jesus. We cast those off her. We pray right now, God, that if there's any hindrance, Lord, that she has done, any door she opened, that you would reveal that to her, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that a shield of protection around her right now, Lord. Send angels to her house to protect her from that spiritual warfare that's going on over her destiny. In Jesus' name, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for being a victorious God. And I thank you, Lord, for healing her and delivering her and setting her free, Lord. And we're in agreement, because one that cast 1,000, two cast 10,000. So we're in agreement right now. We speak joy in her spirit in the midst of her suffering. Lord, and a joy unspeakable that no one can understand where that well comes from. But that well is deep. It's beyond the pain. That well is beyond the image that the beast is painting here. And I pray that well just comes to the surface right now in Jesus' name, overflowing in her. May she rejoice, Lord, in the midst of the suffering and in the midst of the pain. We just thank you, Lord, for praising in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sister. Now we love you. You're very welcome. I know you're going through a lot, Stephanie, but I want you to know that we really are your church, Stephanie. And, you know, we're not in your country, but we're still family nonetheless, you know, and we see you, you know, we see what you're going through. And so does the Lord. We don't understand why God allows things or why things happen in everybody's lives, but we love them in the midst of the ugliness, you know, and in the midst of the suffering. So you're accepted here among the brethren is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. There's no cancer that is going to stop the love of the brethren. You know, we don't come in agreement with that for one thing. We come in agreement with God that he's healing you, you know. But we recognize what you're facing, the devil that you're facing. Amen. All right. Now, Dennis has a really good sermon that he's going to preach to you guys this morning. But I would just like to sing one song before he comes on. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. Amen. Now, before I hand this over to Pastor, I just want to tell you guys that I'm so proud of our pastor. You know, by the way, he gave me an A++++ for Thanksgiving dinner the other day. I was so proud. But today I give him an A++ for being our pastor. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you have great audio. It sounds great.
That's good. Hope everybody's getting good reception this morning.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Okay. Well, I guess this was like Thanksgiving week and weekend. We should just continue in our thanks. And that's something I guess I'm going to talk about today. And I was thinking about it earlier in the week, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, and what it all is. And when I was pondering, just thinking about it, to me, I guess the first thing really that come into my mind amongst a bunch of other stuff was, you know, Thanksgiving for what Jesus did for us, you know, for us all, you know, salvation. But the biggest, I guess, the word that came to me was grace. You know, the grace, you know, that was bestowed upon us, you know, and that what Jesus did for us. You know, we just need to be so thankful for salvation. And then sitting here now, you know, still, I was up early this morning going through, adding some more to my notes and stuff, and sitting here thinking, well, what's the first thing, you know, what can I say, kind of an introduction, I guess, you know, So, you know, and I was looking up different scriptures that have the word thank in it, or thankfulness and stuff like that. And the last scripture that I looked up, which I thought I would share, you know, at the end, but I'm going to share it now because, you know, it just is, I don't know, I'm just led to that. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the end of what is it, what chapter 9 is God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so it's about giving, you know, sowing and reaping. And verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So it's about being a cheerful giver, you know, and God is able to make all grace. There's that word, grace, abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good works. And notice that little word, all. Abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, that may abound to you in every good work. You know, so look at all that the Lord has done for us, and all that we pray for, you know, and we want to see fruit in. And that leads me to our prayer this morning for Miss Stephanie. Okay, no, and I'm just—I made some notes here when June was talking, and one of them is yes and amen for June's prayer for Miss Stephanie, and not just her, but there's a lot of us that are going through things. And we need to be so thankful, you know, for that we have each other, you know, to be praying with and coming into agreement with in our prayers. And which led me to another scripture, Psalm 133, another one of my favorites. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, where each one of us, you know, not just in our sufferings, but also in, like June was saying, that deep well of joy and that deep well of all our blessings and stuff that the Lord has for us. You know, we need to reach deep in our hearts for that, those things in that well, you know, to bring healing and joy in the midst of our sufferings and our trials that we could be going through or may be going through. So yes and amen for these prayers for Stephanie and each one of us. But in this, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and about being a cheerful giver, and I want to go to verse 4:13. While by the experiment or experience of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And here's verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for exceeding grace of God in you. There's that word grace again. You know, Lord, we just thank you for your grace right now, Lord. We just can't thank you enough for your grace, Lord, towards each one of us. In verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Wow. Is that verse 15 not powerful? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, his priceless gift. And what is that priceless gift? Salvation. What Jesus did on that cross for each one of us. Not just on that cross, but on the way to Calvary, up that hill, all he went through for us. Wow. So, then another thing that come to me is, you know, when June was reading some of those scriptures, it's praise. You know, going back to that Psalm 32, you know, praise. And I was looking at that, and I believe this or not, but in Psalm 32 and Psalm 33, now that I'm looking at even Psalm 34, man, my Bible is just highlighted all over of things. And now that I look at it, it's like, wow, these things here, man, is where we need to be so thankful for, you know, for his goodness. Psalm 33, 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You know, his loving kindness. Boy, we need to be so thankful. Verse 8, this is Psalm 33, let all, there's that word again, all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Wow. That word fear, a deep feeling of respect and love and awe and esteem for the Lord, what he's done for each one of us. Amen. Going down, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. Lord, right now we just thank you that you've chosen each one of us for your own inheritance, Lord. We just thank you that we could be called the chosen ones, eh? And then here, verse 15. This is a real important scripture right here. In fact, I've got to double highlight it with an arrow that goes up, and it's got a couple, two, actually it's going to have three dates after today, and I got for June and me. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. You know, how thankful we must be that, you know, the Lord has fashioned our hearts alike. And not just for me and June, but for each one of us. You know, we're in unity here as you know, online church. You know, we feel the pains and sufferings and the joys, you know, of each one of you when we... So, and then one last verse here, verse 18. Behold, there's that powerful word, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Boy, we just got to thank Lord that his eye is upon each one of us as we have our love and our respect for the Lord, that our hope, you know, is in his love and his grace and his mercy. Verse 22, Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Amen. So that we've just got so much to be thankful for. And then I guess I'm very thankful that I can just be sitting here in a nice warm house. I'm having a cup of tea from it's tea that was a gift from some of you that send us gifts. And so I'm thankful for your gifts, your prayers, your support for us, you know, and even the little gifts, you know. These teas are just awesome. I drink lots of tea. And so this morning I'm having a cup of tea, being thankful for cheerful givers and your presence, your cards, your letters. And then this card popped out as I was just this morning in paging through my Bible, and this card popped out and I put a date on it. It says, and it was a card I got from someone. And then, you know, when I get nice cards, I trim them out and I use them for bookmarkers. But that's what this one was. And it says, your kindness is another way that God has shared his love. And it's a beautiful little card. It's got flowers on it. And, you know, I wish I could show it to you, but, you know, I just have to say amen, you know, that your kindness is another way that God has shared his love. So I just thank you, Lord, right now that your love would be shed abroad in each one of these cheerful givers and supporters, Lord, that your love would be shed abroad in their heart and their mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. And so I guess that's something all thrown in here to talk about. And we just have it looks like we're going to have a beautiful day here in Tennessee. Hope everybody else is. Guess let's turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And again, this morning I just, you know, this week I just was going through different scriptures about thankfulness. And again, in the front of my Bible, I have a Bible Cyclopedic Index. And I looked up thankfulness. And the definition it gives, gratitude for blessings. Wow. Gratitude for blessings. Look at all the things that the Lord has blessed us with. And then it's described as spiritual sacrifice. And I'm not going to dive into all these. I picked out a couple of them that I want to share with you. It says thankfulness for duty. Thankfulness for unceasing. Thankfulness for spontaneous. In Christ's name. God's will. Heaven's theme. So there's scriptures behind each one of these. And it's expressed for food. You know, thanksgiving for food. Wisdom. Converts. Prayers answered. Victory. Salvation. We talked about salvation already. The Lord's Supper, changed lives, you know, and it's expressed by the healed Samaritan and righteousness. So these are just some scriptures, some of the topics, you might say, that we can be thankful for. And so with that being said, in John 11, you know, I just want to go to, let's see here, verse 41. Well, let's see here, John 41. And this is, you know, where Jesus raises Lazarus, okay? Mary, which anointed the Lord with, you know, the anointment, the perfume, and he and she wiped his feet with her hair. Well, this is her brother, Lazarus, and this is that story. And I thought this was real powerful. What and these are Jesus' words, but I'm gonna go up to 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." So he's telling Martha, you know, we need to take away this stone because this is where Lazarus was. He was in the tomb already, and sister of him was dead. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith to him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" So Jesus is asking her this question. Verse 41, "Then they take away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou sent me." You know, this is so powerful. Even Jesus thanked his Father. And it just stuck out at me too that, you know, that he says that he especially said this out loud. He thanked the Father. Why? That because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He's thanking his Father so that those people know that, hey, my Father in heaven sent me. My Heavenly Father sent me down here for such a time as this, you might say, that they may believe. You know, the early Christians weren't called Christians. They were called believers. And if you go through Scripture, I mean, the word believer is just all over. It doesn't say Christian, that the Christians will believe. No, it says the believer. We have to believe in God's word. We have to be thankful for his word and believe it. But I want to go down to, let's see, verse 53. Yeah. Verses 53, 54. "Then from the day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." Now, this is talking about the Pharisees, you know, because they were there. They seen Jesus, you know, the miracle that he did, that he raised Lazarus. You know, and these Pharisees, they seen this, and they were plotting. You know, they were taking counsel. You know, as it says here, from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. And I just thought this was so interesting. Verse 54, "Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews." Remember that. That's just a part of it. "But went thence unto the country near to the wilderness, into the city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples." But when I was reading this and pondered this, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews. And I thought that was interesting. And I even, in my notes here, I wrote that verse down and I put, wow, with an exclamation mark. And what came to me while I was pondering that was Jesus is kind of going underground. You know, not full underground hiding or anything like that, but he is partially going underground is what come to me. You know, he walked no more openly among the Jews. And why I'm saying this is because I have personally been mocked by some family members because they, you know, I can't remember why, but they heard that, you know, we're talking about going underground, the underground church. Oh, you live in fear. That's what was thrown at me from one of my brothers. You guys just live in fear. No, we don't live in fear, but we pray for wisdom. You know, and I've got some other scriptures that's going to relate to this here in a little bit, but you know, you have to know when to go underground, to get away from that certain crowd, you know, that you don't have to deal with that, whatever that is. I hope you know what I mean. But when I read that, I thought, wow, you know, even Jesus, you know, he therefore walked no more openly among the Jews. And who were these Jews? They were the ones that were plotting and counseling against him to kill him. And we each, I don't know about everybody out there, but I know here we do. We've got people not plotting to kill us and stuff like that, but who are mocking us and, you know, saying we live in fear and, you know, coming against us. Well, I'm sorry, but we don't live in fear here. I know I don't. Not by any means. I just had to put that out there. You know, verse 57. Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him. So they were plotting to take Jesus, to kill him. And I got a question mark here in my notes. Were they plotting to take Jesus? It says right here they were plotting. You know, and to kill him? Well, I guess putting him on the cross, that's also plotting what? To kill Lazarus also, because what? Because they, by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You know, there's a lot of these people who've seen this, a lot of Jews and other people who've seen this miracle. They believed on Jesus. And this is what these Pharisees didn't like. These chief priests, these high priests, they didn't like that. That, wow, there were being people who were being converted. And that's another good reason to be what? To be thankful. For the people that we can, you know, minister to and speak the word. And I'm going to get into that a little bit too. That there's people are being converted or are coming to the know the truth. Bottom line. You know, this just stunned the religious leaders and hardened them in their determination to what? To kill Jesus and even Lazarus. Because these last scriptures here, let's go back up here to verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. If we let him thus alone, they don't want to leave him alone, boy. They want to come after him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So these Pharisees are afraid that the Romans are going to come and take over. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for many, and that the nation, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spoke he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also it should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So they were plotting. They seen what this miracle did. You know, life is assured in Jesus. Versus, verses 25 and 26. This is John chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, he's talking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So he's asking her, do you believe this? And each one of us got to ask that question to ourselves. Do we believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Life is assured in Christ alone. So don't limit Jesus' power to act in the present time. You know, three concepts: life, death, and resurrection. So, the political and religious leaders of Judaism totally misunderstood Jesus' motives and feared an uprising that would strip them of their power if the Romans intervene. Evil men will always ascribe evil to others. However pure those may be. And can we see that today? How evil men ascribe evil to others in half-truths, let's say, even. Some interesting things. So we just got to be so thankful. Let's go to Psalm 116. Psalm. Get there. Psalm 116. and this is, this psalm is the very, you know, before I read it, at the top of it says, praise for deliverance from death. And here, this goes to not only praise for deliverance of death, but thankfulness. You know, I think thankfulness and praise go together. And it says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Here it is, you know. The psalmist wrote, he's given the Lord praise because what? He hath heard my voice, just like Jesus said. He thanks the Father for hearing him, that the Lord hears him. You know, the Lord hears us. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. We need to call upon the Lord as long as we live. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Deliver what? His soul, his mind, his will, and his emotions. Verse 5, gracious, there's that gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. There's those powerful words, gracious. The Lord is so gracious, is he not? And merciful. Verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Well, I had to ponder that scripture a little bit. Return unto thee rest. Or return unto thy rest, O my soul. You know, his soul, his mind, and his will, and his emotions were just stirred up. You know, all this, the sorrows and death compassed him. The pains of hell got hold upon me, it says here in verse 3. But he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. I think, you know, the Lord dealt with the psalmist here. And he's like coming to grips with himself. Wow. Look what the Lord has done. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my heart from failing. Woo! Is that not powerful? And I don't know, I'm just coming to me right now, but the scripture says that the heart will fail many. It's about talking about the last days, what people are going to be seeing. They'll say, it says, I'm just paraphrasing this off the top of my head, but many's hearts are going to fail them because of what they see in the last days. Why? Probably because they're not walking with the Lord, and they're not listening to the watchman. They're not listening to the true prophets, and they don't know what's going to come upon them. Going to hit them like a ton of bricks because they weren't prepared. You know, they're thinking they're going to be delivered and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, that's not how I read my Bible. You know, so this is praise for the deliverance from death. You know, the psalmist announces his intent to praise God, verses 1 and 2. And reports rescue from the life-threatening situations, verses 3 through 12. Verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And when I read that, I thought, wow, what shall I render? What does that mean, render? I'm a kind of a word person. And it means present. And I asked June, you know, what she thought that word meant. She said give. And she was right. Present or give was the, you know, after studying, those are the two words. What shall I present unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And there's a question mark there. You know, what are we going to present to the Lord for all his benefits, all his blessings toward us? I think it should be thankfulness, praise and thankfulness. Amen. You know, it's, and that word also means in repayment for God's goodness to him. You know, the psalmist vows to praise God for his compassionate concern for his life and death of his saints, verses 12 through 19. You know, he's not just praising the Lord, but for all the saints. And it's interesting, verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaiden, and thou hast loosened my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Now look at that. Verse 14 and 18, it says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And that takes me back to that where Jesus gave thanks unto the Father in the presence of all those people. I thought that was really interesting. You know, a vow is a solemn promise or oath. It can also mean to bind or to make holy by a vow. As a verb, vow means to make a determined decision or promise to do something. A vow is used as a promise that is solemn rather than casual. You know, it's serious when he uses that word vow. I will pay my vow. He's determined. He's making he's determined in his mind that this decision he's making, this promise unto the Lord, you know, it's not a casual thing. It's like marriage vows. You know, it's serious. You know, not only he says, verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Ain't that powerful? I think it is. Wow. You know? This pledge emphasizes the importance of acknowledging God's blessings, his grace, his mercy, his righteousness. You know, it underscores a broader theological principle that gratitude, thankfulness for divine rescue should prompt expressions of devotion and ongoing faith. You know, we have to keep the faith. Amen. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These two letters of Paul to the Thessalonians, okay, we have the New Testament's clearest picture of what will or what will be happening at the time of Jesus' return. And when I was reading this, I thought, whoa, there's so much of this when you read through it and stop and ponder, we see happening. So 1 Thessalonians, and I want to just jump right down to, let me think here. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. I'd say that's an action word. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How powerful is that? In everything. And I want to go back to verse 1, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. He's going to come as a thief in the night to some people. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. How sad. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Whew! Amen. I'm claiming that for each one of us here today. Father God, I just thank you right now that each one of us listening right now to this message, we are not in the darkness, that the darkness should overtake us as a thief in the night. For verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Amen. We are children of the light. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And that's what we do here. That's what this ministry is about. We're watching. We're being sober-minded to see what is coming upon the children of disobedience. And it's not funny. It's not a happy day. You know, our hearts are grieved. And I know many of you are out there are grieved by seeing the darkness overtake so many people. The delusion that people are living in. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Doesn't necessarily they're being drunken with alcohol or booze or drugs. They could be drunken with the deception, the words that in speeches that tickle their ears. They just want to hear what makes them feel good. They're feeling good. They're drunk by the feelings of their emotions that, oh, it's going to be hunky-dory. But let us who are of the day be sober. There's that word again. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for the helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. There's that. Ain't that a powerful scripture? Wow. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, condemnation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Goes back to that Psalm 133 that we prayed. We comfort ourselves together. We edify each other. Verse 12, for we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. You know, we want to know each one of you more personal, just like we hope you. I mean, June, look at her. She's open. Her whole life is open. She didn't hold back. She, you know. And that's the way we are to for each other. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. This word esteem means to treat, and to treat them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, faint-hearted. Support the weak, be patient toward all men. And boy, we need that patience toward all men, and that comes into some other scriptures I'm going to be talking about here. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Verse 16, rejoice evermore, or always. Pray without ceasing. In our key verse, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's go down to, again, this in Ephesians 5, this is, he's talking about the ways of a believer. You know, the followers of God. Okay. It's talking about an abundant spirit-filled life, okay, that is led by what? Not by a man, not by some woman, but by the Spirit. Let's go down, let's see here, to verse 18. Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto the God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Giving thanks all for all things. And let's go back to verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. I think we just read something about that, didn't we not? No wonder we need to be thankful. This verse I've got highlighted because of that word were, W-E-R-E, for ye were. We all at one time were children of the darkness, I think. We walked in the darkness before we got saved, before we got born again and filled with the Spirit of the Lord. For ye were sometimes darkness. Is that not something to be so thankful for? And there's other scriptures that have that word. And whenever I found a scripture like that, boy, I highlight it. I thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy toward me. For ye were sometimes darkness. You know, no wonder we need to have such a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude for blessings, etc., etc., etc. How about for discernment of the times? Let's read it on. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That word reprove means expose them. You know, and that's what we do. It says right here, we're to expose them, reproof them, but we do it in love. We don't do it in spite. Let's go down. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Boy. But all things that are reproved, exposed, are made manifest by the light of truth. Amen. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou thyself that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We need to walk cautiously. That's what that word means, circumspectly, cautiously. At what we're seeing out there, what we're hearing out there. What are you listening to? What are you seeing out there? The Bible's very clear here that we need to walk carefully. We need to be cautious about what we're hearing. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ain't that the truth? Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's God's will to be thankful. God's will to be thankful. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning each one of us. Amen. You know, Jesus highlights the importance of understanding the spiritual context of the events and not just relying on outward appearances. Christians are encouraged to actively seek God's guidance, to discern what is happening in their world, and not only to discern what's happening, and most importantly, how to respond accordingly. Is that not important? How to respond accordingly. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 12, the parable of the dishonest steward. I'm not sure why I put that scripture here right behind that, but you know, we have to be good stewards of God's word. We have to be wise. I guess here, verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in more, in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the right unrighteousness mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Question mark. Verse 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, we have to serve the Lord. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go back. Timer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this this, I guess, let's go right to, you know, and this is Paul's method and Paul's gospel. You know, he's there's a lot to learn in Thessalonians. I tell you, it's just I guess I have highlighted 12 verses 12 and 14. Thankfulness expressed for converts. And we talked about that. Verses, okay, we'll read that. Verses 12 through 14. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that ye believe. Wow. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak in the Gentiles, to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Whoa. So we're to speak to what? To please God. You know, build love relationships. Live that. You preach. Take time with individuals. These are things that Paul is imparting to the believers here. But I want to read, this was when I was reading, and this was early this morning when I got up and I was looking at the scriptures, and I'm like, wow, wow. So let's just go to verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. You know? Paul's saying, you know, he's coming to you, that it's not in vain. It's not empty. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated us, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. You know, I think what he's saying here is, you know, he's telling them that, you know, that we, you know, we suffered before we come here, and before this message was given to the Thessalonians and stuff, he was at Philippi and they were under much contention. You know, what they were preaching and teaching was hated. That's that word contention. And that word contention is, I had to look it up and it's a broad word, you know, the definition, you might say. But here I believe it's, you know, he's talking about the hatred, the heated disagreement, the debate that went on when Paul was teaching in Philippia. But yet, you know, they were bold in God to speak unto you the gospel. You know, even though there's all this heated debate and contention coming against them, they were bold to speak the truth. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. It wasn't misleading. But we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You know, it's judging their hearts. God's our judge, not man. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, greed. God is witness. God's our witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children. You know, Paul's saying here that, wow, you know, just like a nurse is gentle to children, should be, that's how they approach them. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted, shared with you, unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also you, excuse me, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. That's powerful. You know, he's not only imparting unto them the gospel of God, the truth, the word, but it's coming from their soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions. You know, they have this passion to impart to them the gospel. You know, like little children. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also. You know, he's telling them that you guys are witnesses, just like the Lord is. Lord God, he sees all things. You are witnesses. How holy and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. This is like his example. We need to take this as example. This is how we need to come before people. Verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You know, just like, you know, a father directs the path of their child, how he urges his children to walk, you know, uprightly or righteous, or, you know, being kind to others, respect others, or whatever. You know, just as a father, that's what he's saying. He is coming before you guys just like that. Verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And for all this, he so what? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So he was so thankful that they believed the word. You know, they brought the word to these people as a nurse, you know, waiting on children, as a father waiting on children in loving way, in truth. So he was so thankful. I think not just that he could present that to them, but yet that they believed. And I know, you know, when I first got born again, and I've got to admit this, you know, and we probably can all say this, you know, we maybe come hard or maybe a little wrong to some people, and it might have drove them away, and they looked at it down on us, because maybe we approached them with the truth, but maybe not in that loving way, maybe more being judgmental. And I repent from that. Lord, forgive me if I, you know, I didn't know exactly that. Now, as we study deeper, as we're getting more mature in God's word, you know, we need to take this all to heart, what Paul is saying here. Amen. not be, you know, creating this contention. You know, not to do this bringing about the contention or heated disagreements. You know, and again, when I looked that word up, and I guess I want to focus on that word a minute, contention, because again, it can be a broad used term. You know, behind contention can be the spirit of war and competition, which is undeniably linked to pride. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. I'm trying to finish this up here. 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy 6, the first part of it is warning against false teachers. You know, against false doctrine. And verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. You know, acting like a fool. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing what gain is godliness, from which withdraw thyself. Verse 6. But godliness with contention is great gain. For we brought nothing to this world, and is certain we can carry nothing out. So this contention is a broad word. You know, it's kind of like the difference between discussion and contention. You know, discussion, you know, it allows people to put forth their views, their opinions in a respectful manner, expecting the same respect in return from someone who agrees or disagrees with us. You know, contention will usually cause people to toss all respect out the window. You know, it'll bring things in out of control. And we don't want that. We want, you know, to, like he was saying here, you know, we want to bring the gospel to people. And this is, I guess, how I'm going to end this. We want to bring the gospel to people like nurses with children, like a father with their little child. And when we do that, you know, the word is more effective. It's, you know, the key is effective evangelism. The word spoken in love is the most likely to be heard. Amen. You know, we need to build love relationships. You know, we need to live what we preach. Take time with individuals. Share the word, the gospel. You know, then it will be more welcome. Amen. So, Lord, right now we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you work on our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we can be so thankful that we can lead others to you, Lord, to Christ, what he did on that cross for each of us, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, that we, you know, you brought us out of the darkness and into the light, that we can share the light of truth in a very respectful way towards others, to share your word in love, Lord, and not be contentious. We are so thankful, Lord. You know, that word is, there's so many other scriptures about being thankful. So we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And amen. So I think that's...
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I would like to expound upon something, if you don't mind, Pastor.
Sure.
Okay. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, let's reread this in a different tone.
Okay.
If any man teaches otherwise and consents not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Remember, we was talking about this earlier, that we was talking about the presence. Remember me and you about,
oh, yeah,
what is that in this hour? It's because they do not want to be together in agreement on doctrine.
Right.
Because doctrine is holiness, but they want to get together based on feelings, which feelings are deceptive.
Right.
He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. And I'm thinking about, you know, what you preached about the deception that's happening in the world.
Uh-huh.
See, these people are believing all of this. The proud, the doting about just nothing but striving over words and envy and strife and railing and evil surmisings. You see what I mean?
Right.
They're just sucking in the vomit of the beast.
Right.
Perverse disputings over men of corrupt minds. You know, ever since I interviewed that woman, that Shalom girl that was Elon's babysitter, I don't look at any of these people the same anymore.
Right.
This feeling I had of these leaders that I worked with side by side for a year, and I had kind of an admiration for them because of their position. And, you know, I understand we're to honor our leaders and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
And the fact that I invested so much of my life into him. Well, after that interview, I realized, oh, I'm dealing with the devil, man. I mean, it really put me into perspective of, this is evil. I mean, we're like dealing with evil demons that want to just kill us every which way but loose, you know. And so I'm thinking, okay, I have been soberly wakened up here. I am soberly taking this in, what these people are doing. It's evil,
right,
to the absolute bone, you know.
Right.
So perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Even though they label everything truth, 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 truth.
Right.
It is destitute of it. It's destitute. Supposing that gain is godliness. What gain? Their money, their image of the beast, their worldly accolades. This is where the church has to die. Yes. We cannot live according to anything this world offers. We have to be willing to say bye-bye world.
Yes.
Because honestly, church, they can come knock on your door any minute now. This is how imminent this thing is.
Amen. Yes.
Okay. And we're not joking about this either.
That's
you know,
right.
we're very sober to the enemy that we're facing right now. He's proud. This enemy that we're talking about is proud.
Yes.
Knows nothing of our God, but dotes about questions and strifes of words, where comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself.
Amen.
And that's what we're doing. So, yes, we're persecuted because we're going underground. But we're coming out of the rat race because AI right now is taking over YouTube. I showed you a lot of this on Friday. I mean, these people are being taken over right now. It's,
yes.
And plus, we're doing it in obedience to God. Okay, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We think about our sister Stephanie. You know the struggles that she's going through with this battle of cancer. She's been through chemotherapy before. She's been through all the natural remedies. She's exhausted every measure of survival. Okay? But she is a child of God. Whether she sees on this side of glory the victory or not, she is still victorious. No matter that her body fails her, no matter what is happening in the natural, no matter what the enemy is throwing at her with all these darts, she is still victorious. Because you know what? Soon and very soon, she's going to be standing before the king. And that's where the victory is. So our natural circumstances does not dictate our position in this earth. Whether we're poor, whether we're suffering, I don't care what it is. It does not break up the fact that we are God's children. We are blessed and highly favored. You know, we may be ugly. We may have things that are holding us back. We may have challenges. We may have sickness. We may have this. We may have that. But we're still, just like Pastor said, the children of the light. And we can't let the devil diminish the glory that God has put in us, the light that God has put in us, because he wants to use us for such a time as this, in the ugly, in the bad, in sickness, and in health.
That's why
he is still God.
That's why what you all said is so true. But verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know?
Yes, we're content.
And I got that highlighted. I got that highlighted in my Bible, and I put next to it, Lord, I pray and ask for contentment in my life as I strive to live godly life in Christ. You know, I can remember years back, and I've shared this before, how I used to just, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but you know, I wasn't living a contented life. I was, you know, I see these people with this, and you know, my family members, a new house and a new van and a new camper, and I'm trying to think of the word here, but you know, I was jealous, you know, because here, poor me, you know, raising my daughter on my own, living in a little apartment. I didn't have much of anything, and all this and that. And this is from back in 2000 or something. But I was, here's, I guess, pity party is the word. I was living in my little pity party.
So easy to have. Yeah,
you know,
right.
And when I read these scriptures about contentment and prayed over and researched and everything, and that's what we need. We need to be content with where we are. You know, not that, like you said, you know, people are going through hard times, but we need to, you know, really pray for that contentment, that state of happiness and satisfaction. Lord, you got us here for such a time as this, but, you know, we got to look, we got to look higher. We got to look at a bigger picture of eternity.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have to praise him when he says yes, and we have to praise him when he says no. We have to praise him when we understand, and we have to praise him when we don't. We have to praise him when we're poor, and praise him when we're rich, praise him when we're sick, and praise him. You know, we praise him in all things, because a lot of us are going to end up in prison, people. We got to think of Peter. I mean, we are the modern day apostles, okay? We're the modern day Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's here. This is the kind of evil we're facing.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, Pastor, as you was reading that about, you know, the Jews coming after them back then, you know, I was thinking about, man, that's exactly what we're facing today.
Amen. That's
right. It's exactly what it is. And this is why they want to get rid of the New Testament. I believe they're going to be working on that beginning in 2025.
Uh-huh.
Because of the Noahide laws being rolled in, and they want to get rid of Jesus and all images of Jesus, the Christians, you know.
Right.
So, anyways, good preaching, Pastor. Good preaching.
Thank you. We need to be so thankful, even for the little things.
Yes.
And
yeah, be very grateful.
Yeah, we can't have, like, the last thing I said here, the difference between just, you know, discussion and contention. You know, we can't have out of control emotions. You know, we really have to control our emotions, you know, and really step back, sometimes bite our tongue and okay, Lord, you know, show us how we act accordingly, you know, to what we're dealing with right now. You know, be thankful, be thankful that the Lord's going to, you know, guide us and lead us in such a time as this.
Yes, that's right. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Yes.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Isn't that beautiful?
Thanks for singing that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
a good reminder to all of us to be, you know, grateful and thankful right now.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Well, Pastor, I'm going to put you on mute, and I'm going to go ahead and pray and release everybody.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, amen. They're telling you good word, Pastor, good word. All right, everybody. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and let's go ahead and just give the Lord our praise and thankfulness this morning. I just want to tell you guys, too, that, you know, I talked to someone yesterday, and I told them, you know, I love it when the Lord rebukes me because it lets me know he's still there. You know, in our heart, we always want to have an attitude of gratitude, and that does come with rebuke. It comes with a correction. He is our Father, and he corrects us, and he loves those that he corrects. And let's just pray, you know, today that we have an attitude of gratitude and an attitude of correction, you know, where he can have that open door to be able to correct us and keep us in right alignment. Because this is where we get into trouble when we quit opening that door. You know, because then we go off in pride and all that other kind of stuff, you know. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much this beautiful morning. Lord, that we don't have a flood right now. We have the opportunity to say thank you, Lord. We have this opportunity to be grateful. And Lord, in spite of everything that we're all facing in this world today, we are grateful, Lord, that you saved us. We are grateful that you died on the cross for us. We are grateful that we still have breath. So Lord, we just ask you to forgive us this morning, Lord, for having an ungrateful heart. And for not being content with what we have or where we're at or what we lack, and our eyes deceiving us and not really seeing the blessings that we actually do have right in front of us, Lord. Please forgive us. And Lord, today we're choosing to be content in all things. Because you are a great God, no matter what's going on around us, and no matter how loud that wolf is growling or blowing at our house, Lord, we know that you are our peace in the midst of the storm. And how we worship you this morning, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives today and in the earth. We know that the glory of the Lord is covering the earth right now. In the midst of the darkness, you're still here, we're still here, and you're still moving, Lord. Oh, how thankful we are. And Lord, we all pray for Pastor this morning. Lord, refresh his weary body. Refresh his heart. Lord, give him strength to do what he needs to do, Lord. We thank you for giving us fresh manna from heaven through him, Lord. Bless him in every way, Lord. And Lord, we pray over every home that is watching or listening right now. We pray, Lord, that you bless them. Lord, bless them in every way, Lord. From the north, south, east, and west, Lord. Bless them in their ear that they hear what you're saying unto them, Lord. If they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost today. Lord, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, so that they have that weapon that they're going to need in these days, Lord. Fill them with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, we pray peace in their hearts if they're troubled in their spirit right now because of what they see or what they're going through, Lord. We speak peace in the midst of their storm. And Lord, I thank you for filling all of our hearts today with a gratefulness and a thankfulness of what we do have today. And give them peace, Lord. Heal their bodies. Heal their families, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us on this Sunday morning. And we will see you tomorrow for the prayer call. God bless.